Among the followers of Vedic knowledge,
most are following the process
of fruitive activity
and distinguishing
between good and bad work.
Are the many such sincere fruitive actors?
There will be one
who is actually wise.
Shri Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur states that the word karma nishtha refers to one who aspires to enjoy the results of his good work and pious activity. Some followers of Vedic principles offer everything to the absolute truth and do not aspire to enjoy the results of their pious activity. These are also considered among the karma nishthas. Sometimes we see pious men earn money with great hardship and then spend the money for some pious cause by opening public charities, schools and hospitals. Whether one earns money for himself or for the public benefit, he is called a karma nishtha. Out of many millions of karma nishthas, there may be one who is wise. Those who try to avoid fruitive activity and who become silent in order to merge into the spiritual existence of the absolute truth are generally known as jnanis, wise men. They are not interested in fruitive activity but in merging into the supreme. In either case, both are interested in personal benefit. The karmis are directly interested in personal benefit within the material world, and the jnanis are interested in merging into the existence of the supreme. The jnanis maintain that fruitive activity is imperfect. For them, perfection is the cessation of work and the merging into the supreme existence. That is their goal in life. The jnanis want to extinguish the distinction between knowledge, the knower, and the aim of knowledge. This philosophy is called monism or oneness and is characterized by spiritual silence.
ज्ञानन्तिम्रान्धस्य ज्ञानाञ्जनशलाकय चक्षुर्मीलितमेन तस्मै श्रीगुरुवे नमः श्रीचैतन्यमनोभीष्टम् स्थापितमेन भूतले स्वयं रूपा कदा मह्यं ददाति स्वफलान्तिकम् जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवाचार्य गुरुभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्ण हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
मुखं करोति वाचां पङ्गं गृहीतेयं यत् कृपातु मम वन्दे श्रीगुरुं नित्यानन्दं परमानन्दमाधवं श्रीचैतन्येश्वरम् अजानुरंगित भजो कनिका अवधातु संकीर्तन सुधरो कमलायताक्षो विश्वंभरो द्विजवर विविधर्म पालो वंदे जगत के करो करुणावतार धर्माचार्य मध्ये बहुत कर्मनिष्ठ कोटि कर्मनिष्ठ मध्ये एक एक ज्ञान श्रेष्ठ अमंग द फॉलोअर्स वैदिक नॉलेज मोस्ट आर फॉलोइंग द प्रोसेस ऑफ फ्रूटिव एक्टिविटी and distinguishing between good and bad work. Out of many such sincere fruitive actors, there may be one who is actually wise. This is Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu speaking here to Rupa Goswami. And this is popularly known as Sri Rupa Siksha. Mahaprabhu's teachings to Sri Rupa Goswami. And these teachings are the basis of our sampradaya. We are not a Rupanugas, we follow the Rupa Goswami. So these teachings are the basis. Inspired by these teachings, Prayag, Sri Rupa Goswami compiled abundance of Vedic literature. Sri Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and so many. Now here, Mahaprabhu is explaining the complexity
service is rare, as Rupa Goswami says in Uttar Samanin Sindhu. It is very rarely achieved. Sudurlabha. So Mahaprabhu presents here that amongst even the followers of Vedic knowledge, some are karmanishtha, some are jnanishtha, some are attached to fruitive activities, and some are attached to knowledge. In Srimad Bhagavad Gita, you find the yoga ladder. So more or less it's the same yoga ladder being described here. So yoga ladder starts from animal life, human life, if you accept Vedic knowledge. And amongst human beings, there are some who are sakam karmis, some who are nishkam karmis, so some are fruitive actors, they engage in fruitive activities, some nishkam karmis, they engage in activities, but they surrender them to Krishna. And then, above the karma nishthas, then there are jnanishthas, jnanis. The jnanis, they renounce the activities, fruitive activities, but then they engage themselves in studying Vedanta, austerities, and attaining the existence which is beyond the material platform, Brahman intelligence, merging into Brahman intelligence. But higher than that, it will come later on, are the yogis, jnani, yogis and bhaktas. So bhaktas, the devotees, are very, very rare. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, another place, it is said that karmi jnani yogi sakali ashanta. Krishna bhakti nishkam atayim shanta. That the karmis, the fruitive actors, the jnanis, the people who want to merge into Brahman appearance, they are all ashanta. Even the yogis are ashanta. Means they are restless. They are not in peace. And they are not happy, unhappy. Restless and unhappy. But the devotee is Krishna Bhakta Nishkam. So devotee of Krishna is Nishkam. He doesn't have any material desires. Atayu Sham. Therefore, the devotee is peaceful. Shanta. All the Vedic mantras, they end up in Om Shanti, Shanti, Shanti. Any mantra. So, ultimate purpose of the Vedic yajnas and performance is Shanti. And that Shanti cannot be achieved by fruitive actors, karmis. Why? Because they have desire to enjoy the fruits of their action. So in order to save them from the complexity of fruitive action, what's the complexity? The complexity is that every action we perform will have a reaction. And therefore, the entanglement of karma starts. Krishna says that karma vikarma akarma kabu apyatra mohita. This is karma, this is vikarma, this is akarma. So karma is three kinds. Today's discussion will focus on karma and jnana. Karma has three kinds. Karma again has two divisions, sakam karma and nishkam karma. Fruit of activity and activities are the actions where the results is offered to Krishna. Now problem with fruitive activity is that a person becomes entangled. Just like in the Vedas, especially in Samveda and other Vedas, there is so much allurement for karmic activities. If you perform Jyotishtam, you get this. If you perform Putreshti, you get a good son. So different kind of yajnas are there. And the allurements are there. If you perform this yajna, you go to heavenly planet. If you perform Putteshti, you get a good son. So all these allurements are there. Now even if somebody goes to the heavenly planet, the problem is not solved. Why? Because then, kshine punne marta loka mishanti.
Once the pious activities are exhausted, then a person in the heavenly planet is actually thrown out. And what happens? When a person loses the pious activities in the heavenly planet, they are thrown out. And as soon as they are thrown out, all the hobgoblins and they are ready to eat up his body. How nice. How bad. Is it nice? It's not nice, is it? You get the body of a demigod, and then you're thrown out on the heavenly planet, and the ghosts and hobgoblins are there to completely eat up his body, and they eat. Once they've eaten the body, then the soul enters the tears coming out from his face. His or her, whoever they are. There are also females in the heavenly planets. So then the tear, the soul enters in the tears. And the tear come out on the ground. And from the ground, that soul enters in the grain. From the grain, the soul enters in the body of a man. From the body of a man, enters the body of a woman. In her womb. That, another word. You can see the complexity of karma. So karma yoga is complex. And therefore Krishna says, kabhava pitrimonita. Even the most learned scholars, they become baffled. Analyzing karma and going beyond the karma. So this is sakam karma. Now those who are performing sakam karma, but know actually, they come to realize that this sakam karma is going to entangle me in the material world. The cycle, the wheel of karma, and moving like that. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu also gives another analogy to understand this fact. He says, good work, pious work, punya karma, earns some pious credit. But again the person is thrown out. Once you lose the pious credit, as we described earlier on. So all these pious activities, enjoying the fruits of action in the heaven or in this planet, then losing them and becoming bankrupt of the piety. So more or less, at some point you become bankrupt of your piety. And then there is suffering. This is like a prisoner or like a convict. So a convict in the olden times used to be taken to a river. In the middle of the river, they would catch hold of his head and they would take him up to the point when he is about to lose his breath. So when he is about to lose his breath, then they would bring him up. Just let him breathe once or twice, a few times. Then he will. So karma is like that. Taking a breath of fresh air in the heavenly planets. Then coming down on the earthly planet. Or going down to hell's planets. So it's like taking a fresh breath in the heavenly planets. But it is temporary. So Sri Radha Gopinath ki, Yungnath Balasvuddhamai ki, Sri Gonitai ki. So therefore, the people who are intelligent, they don't entangle in this complexity of karma. And higher than the sakam karmis, fruit of actors, are people who offer the fruits of their action to Krishna. Or for some good cause. But the good cause is again a pious activity. So they offer to Krishna. So this is a better platform. Because that way, their wealth becomes purified. In India, there are many, many business people, top business people, who keep a percentage of their income for pious activity. And therefore, when we used to go to make life members to get collection, people give happily because that money is kept separate. Whatever, 10%, 5%, whatever, is kept separate. And sometimes they purposefully keep it. If they are earning black money, then they keep it. So when Krishna comes into, when this one devotees come, they can give it. So that brings some karma. So,
the higher purpose, the higher in those sikam karmis, nishkam karmis, they offer the actions, the fruits of their action to Krishna. Like the, all over India you find Birla mandirs. Have you gone to Birla mandir? The massive Krishna temples. Gita mandir, Birla mandirs. And they were built by a top businessman, Birla, Mr. Birla. And he was a devotee, Krishna devotee. So he kept percentage of his money for good cause, Krishna conscious purpose. So nishkam karma, to some extent. Nishkam karma is when a devotee is performing activities, but the result of all that activity is going to Krishna. Birla kind of people are still karmis, sakam karmi to some extent. They are everything actually, nishkam karmi, sakam karmi. Because the part of their income is going to Krishna. But nishkam karmis, they do activities only for Krishna conscious purpose. So they are performing activities, business or job, but the income, the fruits of action, is for Krishna's pleasure. So nishkam karmis, they are better situated. Because they won't be getting the reactions the sakam karmis get. They eventually become devotees. In one place, Sri Krishna Chaitanya Thakur explains, the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita in his commentary, that nishkam karmis are bhaktas, actually, devotees. Because their purpose is Krishna. But because they are attached to action, karma, they offer the result of the action to Krishna. Now, higher platform, the nishkam karma, is jnana. The jnana is, they know that karma in any form is going to entangle. Whether you become, perform vikarma, sinful activity, karma, sakam karma, fruitive activity, or akarma. Akarma is devotional service. So we'll come back to that later on. They know that karma is entangling, therefore they don't perform any karma. They renounce the world, they study Vedanta, they become celibates and perform austerities, but their purpose is to merge into Brahman. Because they are so fed up of material existence that they want to finish it. So they try to merge into Brahman. But this merging into Brahman is not the solution. How? Because when they merge into Brahman, although they have disentangled themselves from the karmic reaction. But on the other hand, they have finished actually their existence in the spiritual world. So basically, this merging into Brahman is like sleeping unconsciously. Brahman presence. And nothing but Krishna's bodily presence. So Brahman presence is considered like committing spiritual suicide. Why? Because Krishna is Satchidananda Vigraha. Brahman presence is only the representation of Krishna's Sat, eternity. Eternity of part. So Krishna is made of Sat, Chit, Anand. So Chit and Anand, they are bereft of Chit and Anand, but they only experience this eternity, that I am eternal. And therefore they chant the Vedic hymns like Soham, Tattvamasi, Aham Atma, Aham Prajnanam, these kind. And their purpose is same. Soham, I am the same as the Supreme. Soham, in eternity. And then, Tattvamasi, you are that. So that way, they are deluded. And the leader of such a sect is Shripa Shankaracharya, Mayavadi. This is called Mayavadi, Jnanis and impersonalists. So they also practically cheat themselves from the eternal pleasure.
because if they are merging into Brahman, they can't serve Krishna. In the previous purport, Prabhupada said that even Shankaracharya has accepted that Krishna, Narayana Paru Abhyakta, that Krishna is beyond the material creation, is beyond the material manifestation. So two kinds of people either cheat themselves or they are cheated. Karmi, Jnani. So Karmi, Jnani, as Chaitanya Charitamrita says, they are Sakriya Shanta, Yogi. Karmi, Jnani, Yogi, Sakriya Shanta. Krishna Bhakti Nishkam, Atyeva Shanta. From another point of view, Karmis have desires to satisfy themselves through the fruits of activities, the fruits of their action. Jnanis have desires to get eternal existence by merging into Brahman. So both have desires. And that desire is actually personal desire. Let me enjoy the fruits of action. Let me become eternal like the Supreme. Both are desires. So Karmi Jnani, Yogi Sakaliya Shanta. Therefore they are restless. But Krishna Bhakta Nishkam, the devotee of Krishna is without any personal desire. There is no personal desire. Only desire to satisfy Krishna. Atyeva Shanta. Therefore they are peaceful. Let's read a couple of lines from Prabhupada's purport. Prabhupada said, the jnana is maintained, the fruit of activity is imperfect. For them, perfection is the cessation of work and the merging into the supreme existence. That is their goal in life. The jnana wants to extinguish the distinction between knowledge, the knower, and the aim of knowledge. This philosophy is called monism, or oneness, and is characterized by spiritual silence. So this kind of spiritual progress is considered suicidal. Therefore, we find it in Śrīmad-Bhāgavatam Samasindhu. Four kinds of liberation has been described. There are five kinds of liberation, but devotees only desire four kinds of liberation. Sāyoji Mukti, Rūpa Goswāmī says, kaivalya narakāyate. This kind of liberation we just talked about is narakāyate. It's like hell. It's like hell. Why it's like hell? Because there is no service to Krishna. Service to Krishna is life, and becoming bereft of service to Krishna is hell. So therefore this is hell. Once, Sri Rupa Goswami was in Vrindavan, and he was visited by Vallabhacharya. So Vallabhacharya asked him, because he was very advanced in age, Vallabhacharya was advanced in age, he asked Rupa Goswami, please show me what you have written. So, Rupa Goswami showed Bhakti Samasindhu and other books. And then he came across this this line, Kaivalya Narakāyate. So, Bhagavacharya said, how can you say that? The jnanis, they perform so many hard austerities and penances, sometimes for lifetimes. And you are saying that this mukti, sayuji mukti, merging into existence of Brahma, is hell. How can you say that? Rupa Goswami explained, it is hell. Why is hell? Because there is no service to Krishna. Krishna's service is Satchidananda. Whereas, the jnana is the merge and they practically sleep. And also Srimad Bhagavatam, which has been said, that āroha krishna param padam tatam patanti adha. Sometimes the jnanis who are trying to achieve this aim, they may not achieve this aim. Although they have this feeling that I have become liberated. But they may not achieve this aim. And you can see practical examples. Mostly in India, the swamis, the yogis, the gurus, coming from this impersonal sect, Mayavada Sampradaya, they all think they are liberated. All of them. And their followers also think that they are liberated. And they have big, big titles. Akhand Satchidananda Mahamandaleshwar,
I start being with Tatas. And they all really believe that they are liberated. But Srimad Bhagavatam says that Aruha Krishna Param Padantata Patanti Adha Anadrita Vismarangriya. These people are known as Vimuktamanina. They have considered that they are liberated. But actually they are not. And the proof, the evidence, is that these people either end up becoming members of parliament, MPs, with certain robes, or they start opening hospitals, schools, colleges, or they go into politics. So these kind of things, very common. It's not very uncommon that you see a Swami and Yogi in India opening hospitals or fighting election. In India, at one time, you can find at least 2, 3, 4 yogis sitting in the parliament. What are they doing there? They are Muktamanina. They are Muktas. What are they doing in the parliament? So you can see propensity, the tendency, they consider themselves liberated, but they are not. And the reason being, Srimad Bhagavatam said, because they have neglected to serve the respect, to serve the lotus feet of Krishna. Anadit isultangriya. They have neglected the service of Krishna. And they are bodhi patanti adha. They fall down. So this is the irony of Mayavasana. That people perform so many austerities and they still fall down. So why do you become a Mayavadi? Why do you become an impersonalist? And Krishna, in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Bahunam Janmana Ante Gyanma Mam Pratyate Vasudeva Sarvamiti Sa Mahatma Sudhulabha. Therefore, after many, many births and deaths, there may be one person who understands that Vasudeva Sarvamiti. Krishna is everything. What does it mean, Krishna is everything? Varanti tatta vidastattam yajigamatvayam brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavani pishabhati. This is everything. So Krishna is everything means what? That Krishna is Brahman, Krishna is Paramatma, Krishna is Bhagavan. Krishna is the Bhagavan. So Krishna is Brahman. Jnani come to understand that Krishna is Brahman. Like Arjuna says, Parabrahma Param Dham Pavitram Param Bhavan. You are Parabrahma. He is not only Brahman, he is Parabrahma. So they come to realize that Krishna is Brahma. There is a nice story of the Mayavadi in Vrindavan. Famous, popular, ardent Mayavadi. Madhusudan Saraswati. So he was a very, very top class Mayavadi. And he would not, he would practically refute. Anything he said about the personality of God, he would refute. So once so happened that a devotee disguised himself as a student of Mayavad school and went to him. Guruji, I want to learn Mayavad. Okay. Learn Mayavad. So then he was taught Mayavad. For months and years. And after he learned Mayavad, this devotee in disguise, when the time was to give Guru Dakshina, he gave him a book. Guruji, this is my Guru Dakshina. Oh, what is this? Oh, this is complete refutation of your philosophy of Mayavad. Totally refuted. So this happens, but later on, even Madhusudan Saraswati, he became a devotee. And then he cited his realization. He says, Krishna's tattvam, Krishna's partram tattvam aham na jane. There is anything beyond Krishna, I do not know. This is his realization after being a Mayavadi for most of his life. So Krishna is everything. Vasudeva Sarvamiti. You can see that Krishna is everything. So Krishna is Brahman, Krishna is Paramatma. Sometimes the yogi, they turn to Krishna.
because they realize that it is Krishna who is situated in everyone's heart. Isvara sarva bhutanam grante sarva tishtati brahman sarva bhutan yantra dhuvani maya. Krishna is situated in everyone's heart in the form of Paramatma and directing everything, everyone. So Krishna is everything. And there are so many yogis. Durvasa Muni, realized Krishna. And then amongst the jnanis, Kumaras realized Krishna. Chetus Kumaras, four Kumaras, they realized Krishna. And amongst all the topmost Mayavadis, not Mayavadi, impersonalist, Brahmavadis, Brahmarat Shukdev Goswami realized Krishna. So for Mayavadis, these Mayavadis, they also respect Srimad Bhagavatam very much. Because the guru of all impersonalists, Shukdev Goswami, has accepted Krishna. So sometimes you see, even the Mayavadis, they speak of Srimad Bhagavatam. But their speaking is very superficial. Very, very superficial. Even they describe Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's incarnations. And without citing name, it's very unfortunate that amongst the Bhagavatam speakers, top class Bhagavatam speakers in India, most of them are Mayavadis. And how can they know? That when they finish their Bhagavatam, then the conclusion is that Shukadeva Goswami, after Maharaj Parikshit, after hearing Srimad Bhagavatam, merged into Brahma. This is how they conclude Bhagavatam. What injustice to Srimad Bhagavatam? Bhagavatam is not different from Krishna. Krishna swadhamo bhagato dharma jnana devisan. Then Purana arko adhanodita. Krishna has incarnated himself in the form of Srimad Bhagavatam. And the Mayavadis, when they speak on Srimad Bhagavatam, they conclude that Maharaj Parikshit merged into Brahma. Because they are so obsessed, there is so such an obsession of merging into Brahma. This kind of obsession, madness. Mad obsession. They cannot bear the thought that there can be any happiness without merging into Brahma. And the reality is that there is no happiness in merging into Brahman. Therefore, the devotees, they discard merging into Brahman as hellish. So this is the result of Mayavadis. But there may be one Mayavadi, one impersonalist, who realize that Krishna is everything, like Bodhisattva Saraswati, like Shukdev Goswami, like four Kumaras. So there may be some fortunate Mayavadis, who come to Krishna. Even Shripad Sankaracharya, who is the guru of Mayavada school, the founder of Mayavada school, he says, as Srila Prabhupada quotes many times, Bhaji Govindam, Bhaji Govindam, Govindam, Bhaji Mohanati. Sam prapte sannihite kale, nahi nahi rakshati, dukhan karane. O foolish soul, just worship Govinda, just worship Govinda, just worship Govinda. So we conclude here. Just worship. I was told to carry on till 8:45. I've got 2 minutes in which you can put your comments or ask questions. Maya, I'm calling Mayavadi. You're not Mayavadi. Mataji.
Thank you.
These two, particularly this term Nishkam Karmayoga, is quite intermingled. One of Vachaya described as Nishkam Karmayoga is Bhakti Yoga. But Nishkam Karmayoga is also explained as offering fruits of action completely, all the fruits of action to Krishna, or not having any material attachments, not having an attachment to the fruits of action. In 18th chapter, Krishna also described this, this Nishkam Karmayoga. Basically, I think it's quite complex. That's why Krishna says, Kim kam kim kamreti kavyopetra mohita. What is karma? What is a karma? Even the most learned people become baffled. But from devotional point of view, Krishna conscious activities are higher than the jnani's attempt to merge into Brahman. Any Krishna conscious activities. Like here, there's a word karmanishtha. So amongst the devotees, there may be devotees who are karmanishtha. There may be devotees who are jnanishtha. And there may be devotees who are yoganishtha. So amongst the devotees, there are categories. Karmanishtha, that somebody may be a devotee, but has attachment to make money, business, this, that, whatever. Karmanishtha. And yet, he knows, or she knows that the goal is Krishna. There may be devotees who are jnanishtha. They still have some attachment to this impersonal conception of Brahman. Like the Kumaras. They are jnanis. And yet, they are also devotees. So they are jnani bhaktas, shamta, jnani bhaktas. They were very much attached to impersonal Brahman. And later on they became devotees. But they still have kind of tendency towards jnana. And there may be yoganishtha bhakta, too much into yoga, yoga siddhis, yoga perfections, and yet you know that your goal is Krishna. So our devotional service is also sometimes tinged with the traces of karma, jnana, yoga. But pure devotional service, as Sri Rupa Goswami says, anavyasata shunyam. Jnana karma adhinamatam anpurvyam krishnanushiranam bhakti rupta. Uttama bhakti, the first class devotional service, is completely bereft of desire to fruitive activities or merging into existence. So karma and jnana. And then Rupa Goswami also qualifies by saying adhinamatam. Anything else you can think of. And devotional service is anpurvyam krishnanushiranam. Serving Krishna favorably, bhakti uttama. And that is uttama bhakti, pure devotional service, which is the goal of a devotee's life. That clarifying?
I had a question to the same statement that you made, but I got it a little bit different. So is the difference between akarnis and nishkarnis? Akama and Nishkama.
Akama is considered devotional service, proper translated devotional service. But they are intermingling actually, Akarma and Nishkama Karma, intermingling sometimes. But Srila Prabhupada translated as devotional service. Because devotional service, as Brahmaji said in Brahma Sanhita, it doesn't have any religion to reaction. Karmani nirdahati kintuja bhakti bhaja, Brahmaji says. The by performing devotional service, the heaps of karmas are like justice. So a devotee loses all this reaction to his karma. And sometimes it may be seen that in a devotee's life there may be sufferings or enjoyment, both, due to previous karma. But the devotees take it as Krishna's mercy. So, yeah, the empty meaning is determined. When Krishna says this baffling, must be baffling, and therefore it is baffling. Kavya Petra Mohita, he says, even the most learned become baffled in the complexity of this karma. Is that clear?
Service, the
good karma and bad karma both are entangling in the material world. Like in the beginning of the lecture I described how good karma takes you to heaven. Most of the religion in the world, they talk about heaven. Okay? Whether it's Islam, Christianity, heaven. That's their goal. So by performing good karma, people go to heaven. But from the heaven, what happens in the heaven, that after enjoying the heaven for thousands of years, you're thrown out from the heaven. And again you have to go through the cycle. So, yeah, good karma, bad karma, both are entangling. Therefore, devotees are not interested in pious activities or in pious activities. They are only interested in devotional service.
Yeah? You say there are kalas, everything. Can you say Brahman? Use another word.
Brahman.
Yeah, and the words after.
Paramatma.
Can you explain?
Super soul. Super soul. Within the body, there's heart. Within the heart, there's residence of soul and super soul. Now, there's distinction. The Gaudiya Vaishnava philosophy or the Vaishnavas, they know that soul and super soul, they are two. Where the Mayavadi school says the soul is the super soul. Or the super soul is the soul.
Two.
So Krishna, in the form of super soul, is sitting within the heart. Isurasthra Bhutana Vidyasya Tishtati. Krishna says to Arjuna, Ishvara, the Supreme Lord, is situated within the heart of the living entity.
So you have your own soul?
Yeah, and then Krishna. Yes.
In the heart.
Yeah. And this is also described through the example of two birds in the Upanishads. So like in a tree, the tree of the body, the two birds, one is known as Jivatma, another is known as Paramatma. Jivatma means living entity, and Paramatma means super soul. Both are sitting. Now what's happening? That the soul, the bird, which is the soul, is trying to enjoy the fruits of this tree. Whereas the super soul, another bird, is just sitting and witnessing. So, Gatir Bharta Prabhu Sakshi. Sakshi is witness. Super soul is the witness within the heart. So he is witnessing everything. So when people are doing sinful activity, super soul is witnessing. When they are doing pious activity, super soul is witnessing. And therefore, nobody can escape the enjoyment of punishment given by the Supreme Lord. I mean, sometimes there are criminals who can completely baffle the whole justice system. I don't want to name, but there is a very famous criminal who was in Tihar jail in Mumbai, in Delhi. A serial killer, mass murderer. And he completely baffled the whole justice system in India, in Nepal, completely baffled. He was in prison, and yet he lived like a celebrity. So cunning, so clever. But nobody can escape when God is witnessing him. And he still keeps on saying that there is no witness that I have done anything wrong. I have committed any crime. There is heaps of evidence, but he still claims there is no evidence. And even convinced, he's 60 years old, 64, he convinced a young girl in Nepal, 18 or 20 years old, young girl, that he is completely sinless. He hasn't done anything. So people can benefit the human beings, they can benefit the justice system, but nobody can actually do anything when Krishna is witnessing. So Paramatma is witnessing. Is that clear?
Yes.
Good. Okay, I think you are hungry now. Shri Shri Chaitanya-charitamrita ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Om Mahadev.